Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Read, read, books, books.
And we have arrived at that different land. It's Studio A right here on the round table, and we are thrilled, as always, to have Connie Brooks of Bat and Kill Books in Cambridge, New York, with us with our weekly book picks. And it is always a pleasure to have Connie here. Again, Bat and Kill Books is at 15 East Main Street in Cambridge, New York. It's a beautiful store, and she has a beautiful list of books, and it's a pleasure to welcome her to the program. Happy New Year to you.
Well, Happy New Year. Good to be back.
It is terrific to have you here. Where would you like to begin?
Well, I've noticed as a bookseller that when you turn into the new year, people are ready for like really intense, heavy books because they've got the winter ahead of them. These are not the summer beach reads. So I do have some kind of heavy, good books, but I'm going to start with the first book that I've brought in. It's the new novel by Sue Monk Kidd, who is probably best known for her 2002 novel, rather, The Secret Life of Bees, which I'm sure many, many people have read. Mm-hmm. And her new historical novel is called The Invention of Wings. And it begins on Sarah Grimke's 11th birthday in the city of Charleston, South Carolina, when Sarah is given a slave, a 10-year-old girl nicknamed Handful, who is to be her handmaid. The story follows the two women for the next 35 years as they each strive for a life of their own. Their fates are intertwined, and their complex relationship is marked by guilt, defiance, and estrangement. As the stories build to a riveting climax, Handful will endure loss and sorrow, finding courage and a sense of self in the process. Sarah will experience crushed hopes, betrayal, unrequited love, and ostracism before leaving Charleston to find her place among the early pioneers in the abolition and women's rights movements. Inspired by the historical figure of Sarah Grimke, Kidd brings us a story that goes beyond what dusty archives can teach us and imagines the inner lives of two complex and imperfect women as they struggle with the strictures, impositions, and cruelties of their day to make a way for themselves.
It's The Invention of Wings by Sue Monk Kidd. It's been getting beautiful reviews and a really gorgeous book. The Invention of Wings. Next.
Next one, I brought in Brown Dog, which is a collection of novellas by Jim Harrison. And what I would say to people is, if you haven't read anything yet by Jim Harrison, what are you waiting for? You're really doing yourself a disservice if you haven't read him yet. To discover his work is to fall in love. His novels and short stories are just incredibly, incredibly good. His new book collects in one place his novellas about the character Brown Dog, a perennially down-on-his-luck Native American who routinely overindulges in food, drink, and women. Brown Dog is always just barely scraping by, but along the way, he rescues the preserved body of an Indian from Lake Superior, wanders to Los Angeles in search of an ersatz Native activist who stole his bearskin. He adopts two Native children and flees the authorities, then returns across the Canadian border aboard an Indian rock band's tour bus. The collection culminates with a story called He Dog, never before published, which takes Brown Dog on a road trip from Michigan to Montana and back, where perhaps he'll find a chance at redemption.
It is Brown Dog by Jim Harrison. And I agree, if you haven't read him, he is just a wonderful, wonderful writer.
Such a discovery to read Jim Harrison.
Good, good stuff.
Yes.
Next.
The Winter's Tale by Mark Helprin, which was actually first published in 1983, and I'm bringing it in to talk about because the movie based on the book hits theaters next month, so it's a good time to revisit this American classic. Mark Helprin's masterful novel will transport you to New York nearly at the turn of the 20th century, to a city under a siege of unprecedented snows. One winter night, Peter Lake, master mechanic and reluctant burglar, attempts to rob a fortress-like mansion on the Upper West Side. Though he thinks it's empty, the daughter is at home, a young girl dying of consumption. Thus begins the affair between a middle-aged Irish burglar and the young heiress, Beverly Penn. The story is fantastical and beautiful, and it's no coincidence that the movie based on the book comes out on Valentine's Day.
Winter's Tale by Mark Halperin. And so out in paperback, so we can,
pick up a paperback.
Excellent. next up.
One more novel. This one is The Radiance of Tomorrow by Ishmael Beya.
I love this book.
Yes. When Ishmael Beya's A Long Way Gone was published in 2007, it became an instant classic. It was his memoir, a vivid and harrowing account of Sierra Leone's civil war and the fate of its child soldiers, of which Beya was one. And now he's returned with his first novel, not about the war itself, but about its aftermath. What happens when those who have committed atrocities or have been the victims of them return to what is left of their homes? At the center of Radiance of Tomorrow are Benjamin and Bukhari, two longtime friends who return to their hometown after the Civil War. The village is in ruins, the ground covered in bones. As more villagers begin to come back, Benjamin and Bukhari try to forge a new community by taking up their former posts as teachers. But they're beset by obstacles, a scarcity of food, a rash of murders, thievery, rape, and retaliation, and the depredations of a foreign mining company intent on dirtying the town's water. As Benjamin and Bukhari search for a way to restore order, they're forced to reckon with the uncertainty of their past and future alike. And Ishmael's just a wonderful, wonderful person, and I think that his is a very important voice for our times. So do read his book.
Absolutely. It's The Radiance of Tomorrow. Beautiful, beautiful novel. Next up.
I turn to two memoirs now. And the first is My Age of Anxiety, Fear, Hope, Dread, and the Search for Peace of Mind by Scott Stossel. This book has been getting a lot of media coverage since it came out. Stossel is the editor of The Atlantic, a pretty stressful and influential position, I imagine. So it makes it all the more revealing that he, like so many, suffer from sometimes debilitating anxiety. As recently as 35 years ago, anxiety did not exist as a diagnostic category, and today it is the most common form of officially classified mental illness. Stossel reports on famous individuals who struggled with anxiety, as well as on the afflicted generations of his own family. His portrait of anxiety reveals not only the emotion's myriad manifestations and the anguish anxiety produces, but also the countless psychotherapies, medications, and other often outlandish treatments that have been developed to counteract it. Stossel vividly depicts anxiety's human toll, its crippling impact, its devastating power to paralyze, while at the same time exploring how those who suffer from it find ways to manage and control it. Stossel explores the history of the affliction as well as the latest research and provides an insightful look into a disease that is pervasive, yet still too often misunderstood.
I have read this book. It is it's really well done. My Age of Anxiety, Fear, Hope, Dread, and the Search for Peace of Mind.
And then very different memoir, and this one is Mastering the Art of French Eating, Lessons in Food and Love from a Year in Paris by writer Anne Ma. And let me say first that it is very hard to feel sorry for Anne in this book. When her diplomat husband is given a 3-year assignment in Paris, she's absolutely overjoyed. A lifelong foodie and francophile, she immediately begins plotting gastronomic adventures for two. But then her husband is called away to Iraq on a year-long post alone. So suddenly she finds that she's going to be in Paris all by herself, which is the hard to feel sorry for her part. But you can sympathize with her absolute loneliness. So perhaps reminiscent of another diplomatic wife, Julia Child, Anne must find a life for herself in a new city. Journeying through Paris and the surrounding regions of France, Ma combats her loneliness by seeking out the perfect pain au chocolat and learning the way Andouillette sausage is really made. Mm. She explores the history and taste of everything from bœuf bourguignon to soup au pistou to the crispiest of buckwheat crepes. And somewhere between Paris and the south of France, she uncovers a few of life's truths. And I would say it's definitely a book for the armchair traveler who likes French food, because she interweaves in the book the lively characters that she meets as well as the traditional recipes that she samples.
Mastering the Art of French Eating, Lessons in Food and Love from a Year in Paris.
And I would take that year. I would,
yeah.
Even if I was by myself, I would
Sounds
take
like
that
a
year.
Good year.
Yes.
A year well spent. Finally.
My young adult pick on the list. And this is the book Hollow City by Ransom Riggs, and it is the sequel to Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children. And when Miss Peregrine's Home first came out, there was absolutely nothing like it in the young adult genre or otherwise. It was an unprecedented mix of young adult fantasy and vintage photography that enthralled everyone, readers and critics alike. It had characters we loved, monsters we hated, and oodles of creepy mystery. And we have been waiting forever for the sequel. The second novel, Hollow City, begins in 1940, immediately after the first book ended. Having escaped the island on which Miss Peregrine's school stood by the skin of their teeth, Jacob and his new friends must journey to London, the peculiar capital of the world. Along the way, they encounter new allies, a menagerie of peculiar animals, and other unexpected surprises. Complete with dozens of newly discovered and thoroughly mesmerizing vintage photographs, this new adventure will delight young adult and adult readers alike, and it has the most wonderful cover image you'll ever see.
It really is. It's a great, great cover. It's called Hollow City, the second novel in Miss Peregrine's Peculiar Children. It's a creepy cover.
Creepy, creepy.
Yeah,
just
almost.
Just as the first was very
The one
creepy.
Was probably more creepy, but it's this one's good, too.
Yes.
Ransom Riggs is the author, and it's, again, Hollow City. Bat and Kill Books is located at 15 East Main Street. Anything else going on you want to tell us about?
Oh, my goodness. I'm working on the whole slew, you know, the year's events. We've got book clubs coming up. This next one in February, we're discussing Me Before You by Jojo Moyes.
Mm.
And after that, we're going to be reading for book club Their Eyes Were Watching God by Zora Neale Hurston. We've got Knit Night Start. We have poetry. And then we have a whole slew of like special events, our Curiosity Forum events, which I'm slowly getting up on the website. But we've got Lily, which is a book by Marcia Reese that's coming up, and a book by Bill Morgan about Civil War sites in New York City. So there's a lot of good stuff coming along.
Really good stuff. Yeah. Well, and you ought to check out the Curiosity Forums. You can check out everything at the bookstore, but Curiosity Forums are wonderful and a great venue and a great group of people who are there. So it's Bat and Kill Books, the Random 15 East Main Street in Cambridge, New York, batandkillbooks.com. To find out more information, you can also find the book list on our website, wamc.org/roundtable, wamc.org/roundtable. But for goodness sakes, if you're in the wilds of Cambridge, go and visit them. It's a beautiful way to spend an hour or 3 days. Connie, thank you very much. It's always great to have you here.
Thanks
Pleasure.
For having me.
Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.